son of a bitch.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of No Time to Bleed. This is our bi-monthly action movie podcast. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with Micah.
Hey.
And Chris from the Insanity Report.
What's going on, folks?
All right. So we brought in Chris to talk about maybe the greatest bad movie of all time, Predator. Of course, this is the 1987 roided up dudes in the jungle movie, directed by John McTiernan, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers, Bill Duke, the blackest man on earth, Jesse Ventura, and Kevin Peter Hall as the Predator.
We really knew how to black off between him and Wesley Snipes.
I think Wesley Snipes' shadow is impressed by the skin tone of Bill Duke, because yeah. That nigga is black as shit.
Like, I think Bill Duke is like Wesley Snipes' shadow.
Yeah, Bill Duke is the demons from Ghost that drag all the villains to hell. That's black that dude is.
No bullshit. In this movie, he is so black that it actually looks like he's like a burn victim. And all you got is his eyes. And he's like, No. You didn't actually get an action right now. That's actually you. It's like, love this guy, yo.
Oh, poor Bill Duke. This movie is pretty great. So what we always do, Chris, is we give our out of five score for this. Now, just so you know, your score, because this is No Time to Bleed, can far exceed a 5 out of 5. So, Micah, you go first.
This is 45 Predator teeth out of 5, because the Predator has a lot of fucking teeth in that vagina mouth of his. And I absolutely love this movie. People say that this is we come on and say, oh, this is a bad movie. I mean, this movie is actually really good. Like watching it this morning, you know, you think that you're going in for another Rambo, you know what I mean? But all of a sudden it turns into this kick-ass sci-fi movie. And I mean, this movie is great, man. Like this is one of the best movies ever. Like ever.
It has all the trappings of being easily one of the most known action movies of all time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What makes it so great is you actually think, oh, it's another Commando. Okay. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, what else is going on here? This is actually another movie here. Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think this movie has two very distinct parts, right? It is the regular action, let's kill these, you know, random folks in the jungle, and then it just turns into a full-on sci-fi movie, like, moments after that.
Yeah, it's like the Cambodian stormtroopers. You never know any of their names. They're just cannon fodder. Just, okay. Yeah,
there's no reason for them to even exist in the movie except for to watch Jesse Ventura basically light a tree on fire with a minigun. Like, that's it. That's solely the reason for that scene.
Stick around.
Oh, my God.
Classic lines like stick around.
Oh, God.
Trivia time. That was improv by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah,
of course.
No shit.
Yo, who would write that down? Like, oh, no, you need to say this. Like, oh, okay, yeah, all right.
Like, only thing would make that better if he did one of those Anthony Mackie joints after, like, in Winter Soldier. Cut the check.
Yeah, cut the check. Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, man, you really nailed it. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you.
Oh, that's Arnold at his best, though. You know, it's like, it's like Conan the Barbarian. You know, these are one of my favorite Arnold movies because he doesn't say a lot. He just has one-liners.
Yep,
because exactly. The more you get him to talk, the shittier the movie gets. So in this movie, he just says a bunch of, like, no shit things, like, oh, okay, yeah, they're hunting us. Oh, good observation there, man.
Exactly. Right. So my out of five score is probably, I would probably give it 20 manliest handshakes of all time out of five. Look, this scene alone is worth the price of admission. So No, I think it is the perfect action movie, to be honest. I think it gives you as much, like, roided up dude shooting at the jungle as humanly possible in a film while keeping the thinnest of narratives in the movie. And it's just all around just fun. Like, it's just a fun movie. I can tell you I have seen Predator no less than maybe 40 times.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, like, so I didn't watch it again for this because I was like, oh, I've seen this movie enough times. Every time it comes on, I have to watch it. It doesn't matter what it's doing. Yep. Like, if I was getting married and somebody actually started showing Predator in the middle of the ceremony, I would stop getting married and go watch the fucking movie and like, hey, listen, we'll come back and do this again.
She would understand. If she's marrying you, she already knows your love for Predator.
Trivia fact. That handshake that Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger do at the beginning of that film, I imagine that's what Obama and Biden do when nobody's looking. Like, that's just like the interracial handshake of all time, the best interracial handshake of all time. It's just like, yeah, that's,
you know, yeah. What you're not wrong. I also need to see secret NSA footage of that.
Yeah.
Chris, would you like
another trivia fact, since Chris spoke about if he was getting married?
Yeah, sure.
The part of the shoot was shot 24 hours before Arnold Schwarzenegger's wedding rehearsal dinner. Jesse Ventura teased him about his nuptials, often ruining takes. Director John McTiernan was not amused. Schwarzenegger missed the final preparations, and Maria Shriver was not happy about that because his mind was more on the film instead of their wedding. Even fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger prefers this movie over a wedding.
Well, you know, if you think about the long run, what happens in that marriage?
She'll stay in that jungle.
Foreshadowing,
buddy.
A little foreshadowing there. She should have known.
And again, our last No Time to Bleed episode was The Running Man, which is also a tremendous Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. And again, Arnold Schwarzenegger very much inclined to Latino women, always, mm-hmm. always. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he was trying to tell you something, man. I think he was trying to tell you something. So, Chris, your score out of 5?
I'm going to give it 50 cc's of HEH. Because I really believe that this is one of those, like, they couldn't have drug test. They don't drug test on movie sets because, everybody is just, not only are they on drugs, but it's clear they're all roided out too, like, in the middle of these takes. You're just like, what?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. Oh, it's so awesome. It's like, this is where you put roid rage to good use.
Oh yeah. You got it. Look, just mowing down jungle somewhere, somewhere, in South America, I assume. I don't know. All right. So let's go through this movie. A couple things. The budget was between $15 and $18 million. It made $98.3 million, which is, I think, totally reasonable. So as it goes, we start off with, seeing some sort of alien spacecraft of unknown origin approaching Earth from outer space. It enters the atmosphere and jettisons a small pod, which descends to the Central American jungle. A lone alien emerges from it. Then we're given this scene of all these guys being helicoptered into this area, and it's just a cadre of like badasses: Jesse Ventura, Bill Duke, Shane Black, the director of Iron Man 3 and the writer of Lethal Weapon movies. So these guys all come in, and then of course Arnold Schwarzenegger's gigantic ass gets out of a helicopter, and they basically meet up with this general. And of course Arnold Schwarzenegger is smoking a cigar because that's what he does.
Oh, you got to mention also the music is just,
oh, it's so good. It's so good.
The soundtrack on this is so good. Cause you're just like, it just gets that feel of what this movie should be.
I think, what is it? The soundtrack was done by Alan Silvestri, which I know this dude did a bunch of shit in the 80s and 90s. I mean, he did Delta Force, Romancing the Stone, Back to the Future, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? That's kind of odd.
Which one of these does not belong?
Yeah, exactly. But he also did Predator 2, Ricochet, which is a great one in the 90s.
Did they have him do the Predator one that came, the Predators with the last Predators movie?
What year did that come out? 2001.
That was a newer one that came out.
No, he didn't do that one.
He didn't do that one because they try to emulate a lot of the feel and the sound from the first movie in that movie too. So I was wondering if they did that.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look like it. He did do some terrible shit in the 2000s, though. Wow. Van Helsing, really? That's unfortunate.
Yeah. You know, that's when life comes, when bills come at you fast. So you make a piece. So
like, I'll do anything. What do you want? Fucking Night at the Museum? I got it. Nailed it. So all of these guys show up, and Arnold Schwarzenegger meets up with the general, and the general gives him some plans as to why they're here. So I have that clip. So here you go.
We've got a transponder fixed on their position. About here.
This cabinet minister, does he always travel on the wrong side of the border?
Apparently they're straight off course, and we're fairly certain they're in guerrilla hands.
So why don't you use the regular army? What do you need us for?
Because some damn fool accused you of being the best. Dylan! You son of a bitch.
What's the matter? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils?
I can't believe that's a line.
Enough. Make it easy on yourself, Dutch.
I can't believe it's a line.
This is the best.
Okay.
I never did know when to quit, huh?
Damn good to see you, Dutch.
Dude, these two guys. I like that they put Carl Weathers in this like button-up shirt. Like, come on, man. Like,
he said he is too small.
It's like, dude is rocking a medium.
It's like, come on. Like, hey, he's wearing a tie. Like, this is the smallest. This like. A boy's large fucking dress shirt.
He's got a small short sleeve shirt with a tie on. You're just like, you know, they did like three takes of this, right? The first one was like, no. It was like the Three Little Bears. No. That one's too large. That one's still a little too large. Oh, no. That small one right there. That's just right. Just
take that one from that kid who brings us our lunch.
Right. You know, he took, there's some kid sitting on the side with no shirt on,
looking sad.
Give me that shirt.
But the funny thing is, what I like about this scene is, like, Carl Weathers is supposed to be the, like, hey, he's sort of, like, hung up his guns, and he's more of, like, this politically minded guy. I'm like, this dude is still fucking jacked. Like, come on, man. Like, pushing pencils. Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe like crates of pencils around. Hey,
what are they using? Like fucking the great redwoods is fucking pencils.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Everyone in this movie is on so many drugs. It's amazing.
So many, yo.
This is like putting Carl Weathers in the Tom Cruise role in Edge of Tomorrow.
Right.
Like, because it's like Tom Cruise is like this scrawny, like, PR guy, and all of a sudden he looks like Carl Weathers. Like, well, what's the matter? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils? No, what the fuck? I swear, man.
Oh, God. So good. Yes. So good.
So good.
Love
so
it.
Good.
And I love that this also said, let you know right away that Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to have the most no shit Sherlock dialogue of all time. And that's when he's at his best.
Absolutely.
So when he's at his best, he's just like, oh, you're a dumb jock. Okay, cool. Great. Ask those questions. There we go.
Yep. So they basically agree to go into the jungle to go after this group of Mexican cannon fodder, as far as I'm concerned. Yes, I realize they're not in Mexico, but, so they all agree like, all right, let's do this. Let's go kill a bunch of guys. And hopefully, you know, save the day or whatever. So it cuts to all of these guys in a helicopter, and they're all getting ready. And we get the first instance of Shane Black trying to tell this joke to Billy, played by Sonny Lanham, about how his wife has a large vagina, which is a hilarious thing because if you don't pay attention, it's like sort of like a two-shot joke. And the second part comes later. But Billy is not amused. Like, he doesn't give a shit. And here's a little bit of trivia about Billy. I found this to be absolutely hilarious. So Sonny Lanham, who plays Billy, is a very large Native American man. And, he ran for public office at one point. And he decided that he was going to run for Senate in Kentucky. And everybody's like, oh, all right, another guy from the Predator movies running for office. All right, let's hear what this guy has to say. And so he ran on the Libertarian ticket, apparently. And then he came out and said, like, all we need to do a genocide on all Arabs, and they are all ragheads. And apparently the Libertarian Party was like, yeah, we're going to pull our nomination. You can't run for us. Like, and now his career is fucking over.
Wasn't he a porn star too?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Yeah, found that out this
morning.
What? Yes.
Again, this movie is full of characters.
This movie is fucking awesome.
I need to know what his porn star name is.
It should have been like I don't know. What was the Indian dude from Super Friends?
Apache Chief?
Yeah, that should have been his fucking
porn. I don't know, man. I think if you're going to do porn, your name got to be incorporate Tomahawk at some point in there.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Tomacock.
There you go.
Done. I'm a little disappointed that they don't have the names of his porns.
Here's another piece of trivia on Sonny. He was hired to work on the film, but on one condition. The insurance company insisted on a round-the-clock bodyguard for him, not to protect the actor, but to protect everyone else from him, as he had a reputation of engaging in bar fights.
Really?
I can believe that.
Yeah, well, you know, he's Native American. Like, they're drunks. And they're
right.
Violent. And like, they got a lot of bitterness.
And you're skipping all the way ahead to, you know, his final scene. It makes sense. You're like, this doesn't make any sense. What are you doing? It's like, oh, well, this is just, I bet you that wasn't even the script. They were like, I'm gonna fight the alien. But Billy, that doesn't make any sense. You can't fight the enemy, which is a knife. It's like, I'm going to do it anyway. I do it all the time.
Like, are you going to tell that guy he can't go into the forest alone? Like, right. You know what? Have at it, buddy. Your security guard left early today. Go. Like, go for it.
There you go. That's what the Redskins need to change their name to. The Washington Billies.
They would be more terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
They would be more terrifying.
Yes.
I support this. So here's a little bit of dialogue, because look, it wouldn't be a 1980s movie, and it wouldn't be a No Time to Bleed episode if it wasn't for amazing homophobia and or racism. So here you go. Here's Jesse Ventura offering some of his fellow do-gooders some chew.
Get out of my face.
Bunch of slap-jawed faggots around here. This stuff will make you a goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus. Just like me.
Scrap this on your sore ass plane.
Is there anything better than calling a bunch of dudes slack-jawed faggots? I'm not sure there is.
Or calling yourself a sexual tyrannosaurus.
Well, there you go. I don't think any of Jesse Ventura's lines weren't written by him.
Oh, no, they had to be, because it makes no sense. It was like, tyrannosaurus have short arms, though, so what are you trying to really say here, sir? Understand. Well, you are on HGH, so this actually makes sense now. So.
Yeah. Oh man, Jesse Ventura was a governor.
That's what makes, again, this is what makes this movie so good, when you find out what these people did afterwards. Like,
right.
He became governor. Fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor.
But the funny thing is, like, he was a pretty good governor. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know.
Like, is there any other movie we have where there's two actors eventually become governor to two different states?
I don't think so. And who would have thought it would be fucking Predator, by the way?
Right. And it's like, it's the two most muscle-headed motherfuckers you could find in a movie, and they become governor.
That is crazy. I mean, look at the cast, right? You've got Arnold Schwarzenegger becomes governor and a massive movie star. Bill Duke becomes a pretty well-renowned director. Jesse Ventura becomes governor, an all-around crazy person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not bad. Like, and then Shane Black becomes, you know, this big Hollywood director / writer. Like, four out of the seven dudes, like, had pretty storied careers. I mean, Carl Weathers did pretty good in the Rocky movies. I mean, he didn't have much after that. But that's it. It's not bad. It's not bad. I would not have thought that of looking at this cast in 1987.
No.
Not at all. All right, so they end up in the jungle. They eventually get down, and they find they end up running into a downed helicopter, basically, in the trees. and they come to find out that it's some gods that they actually knew. And their bodies are all missing, and they're just kind of like, what the fuck happened? And they weren't told ahead of time that this group was there. So they're pretty pissed off at Carl Weathers at this point. But Carl says he doesn't know. Or Dylan, excuse me. Dylan doesn't know what the fuck they were doing there.
And acting is so terrible that you know he's lying.
Oh, 100%. Like, come on, Dylan. Come on, man. Then they find these three bodies in the trees, which are their friends, and they are skinned alive. So, of course, they're still under the bizarre assumption that, like, regular people did this shit. But look, let's just talk about this real fast. Like, this movie has, like, a legit level of horror to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not bad. I mean, there's, like, their entrails are fucking laying on the ground, you know. They actually do a pretty good job.
Well, what I love about... I mean, I think this is... I grew up on horror films, and I think one of the things that... reason why I connect to more horror films from, like, the 80s and 90s when I grew up, versus, or even before then, versus horror films now, is because of their low budgets, they were forced to kind of rely on, you know, anticipation and you know, building up to the suspense and the horror of stuff. So it's just like with Jaws. You don't get to see the actual shark in Jaws, but it's the music and everything else that kind of builds this tension up and builds this horror up. My other favorite one is The Thing.
Right.
You know, where it's just, it's so much, it relies so much on, like, you know, well, any of us can be it, you know? So with this film, same thing. It's like, you don't really see the actual predator, you know, for almost like three quarters of this film. You know, you see,
you
like,
really
images and things like that. And, but you see the after effects. Like, you see skin bodies hanging from the trees, and you see, it's just, it's a horrifying thing. And then you're in this jungle, which can be horrifying on its own.
You know? Yeah. Like I said, it's like, it's really funny because it is two distinct movies. But yeah, you do really get like this level of horror. I mean, I remember seeing this as a kid. I was like kind of freaked out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you watch it again and you're like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I can't believe they shot that many people that many times. This is awesome. I think I'm going to watch it again. So they're being, like, while they're trekking through the woods, they're being tracked by the predator using thermal imaging. Like, I think this also goes to, like, the horror side of it. Like, you don't know what this guy looks like. And, you know, like, thermal imaging looks creepy and sort of weird and everything else. But again, like, their budget was only $15 to $18 million, so you couldn't do much.
And the other creepy thing they did with it also is have him repeat some of the things they say,
right?
Throughout, so it's like he'll be saying, "Ah, what was a good one?" I can't remember, but there were some good ones. He would have the creature say again, and it would be like in this weird voice of theirs, and it was like, "That's, you're a fucking creepy stalker." It's like it was almost like predator rapist, you know?
Yeah, you're not wrong, actually.
Yeah, it's like the creepy guy outside your window, like, "Are you watching me?"
So let me blow your minds.
Oh, boy.
The uncredited voice of the Predator is Optimus Prime himself.
Yes.
Peter Cullen.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah. Now imagine what you just said, but it's Optimus Prime now. Optimus Prime is a creepy rapist.
Yes.
Well, we all knew that. I mean, that is par for the course at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Optimus Prime was kind of going after little kids, so.
Yeah, he did kind of have a thing for Spike, didn't he?
Right, so.
Sham, push the cube into my chest after you come on it. Like, whoa, Optimus, what?
Just hand me the cube, don't worry.
Yeah.
We got to get back to ripping robots' spinal cords out. Sorry. Because this is a kid's movie, by the way. So, all right, let's talk about this. So at this point, they decide, like, all right, they happen upon this encampment of fucking bad guys, you know, as I call them, Mexican cannon fodder. And, dude, Arnold Schwarzenegger lifts a truck and basically just throws it down a hill. And They kill. I wish there was a kill count as I'm watching this. Like, I'm not so sure he didn't kill 500 people in this scene. Like, everyone dies except for one person.
What I love about that is it was kind of unnecessary.
Like, the whole scene is unnecessary.
He's like sneaking in there to do it quietly. But he sees the truck and goes, no, this will be better. Like, I almost want to believe that that was also improv. Like, yeah. Arnold's like, I'm too big to be sneaking around here.
Yeah, like, you don't hire me to be an assassin, motherfucker. I'm a brute. Mm-hmm. I'm a tank. Just send me through the front door. And, yeah, I mean, they just proceed to just mow down these poor sons of bitches in these huts. In the best of ways. Look, not since Commando has the catapult to make people jump into the air been used more. I mean, there are just people flying. There's fire everywhere. Look, this scene, if the movie was just about them taking these guys down, this movie would still be a fucking 10 out of 10, right? But then they have to fight an alien after this. This is a mini boss, you know, comparative to the rest of the movie. You get these two guys who are like, yeah, let's take off in a helicopter. There are guys with grenade launchers firing at you. How did you think you were going to get off the ground? I just didn't understand that. I was very confused.
You know what I want to see? I want to see this same movie, but from the point of view of the cannon fodder. Like, what was going through your mind?
Like, who the fuck are these guys?
Right.
Amazing. Amazing. And can I just say this? I give this movie a lot of credit for many reasons, but one of the things I give it a lot of credit for is this is a pretty mixed cast, mm-hmm. by the way. Like, I mean, yeah, you got the white guy who's leading, but like, you've got an Indian dude, you got a couple of black dudes. Like, they just needed an Asian guy who was like a badass with a sword at some point. But, you know, there's only four of those guys in Hollywood anyway. So, but yeah, I mean, for a movie as dumb as this, this and Fast and the Furious have the best diversity of any action movie in the last like 50 years.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. There's a scene during this part where a guy decides that he wants to shoot at Jesse Ventura and his friends, and Jesse Ventura literally just sets a tree on fire by shooting at it enough, which I think is probably the best way to kill somebody. Arnold Schwarzenegger is just walking around just shooting from the hip with a machine gun like a boss.
Please tell me you have the, because this is when you hit me up about doing No Time to Bleed, I was like, well, you obviously have done Predator because obviously that's where the name of the show comes from, right? It's like,
I know we're assholes. We hadn't done it.
I was like, wait, so we got to do this. So please tell me you have that clip because it is the most ludicrous response.
Oh, I don't have this. I don't have this stick around. I don't. But because it's like all it is just gunfire for 20 minutes. And then I think there's like one line. Like, that's it. I don't even think they talk. No, so it's like, look out. Like, that's all it is.
The response that Jesse Ventura's character gives to being shot. It's like, oh, man, you're bleeding. It's like, I don't have time to bleed. Like, what do you? That doesn't
that
even make any sense.
No fucking sense. I got time to bleed, nigga. You're bleeding now. Like, of course you have time. You're doing it now.
No, but look, that's the whole premise. There's a stick around scene. There's the whole premise of like all of these movies is everyone is always in a rush. Mm-hmm. No one has time for shit. Like, I don't. I mean, like, oh shit! Wait. That guy that he shoots, who seems to be like a high level dude, I'm pretty sure that's like that guy was a villain in another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. I'm almost positive like he was in like Red Heat or some shit like that. I feel like Arnold just hires his friends. Like, did I kill you in a movie? Cool. You're gonna be in the next movie. This movie is amazing. Like, this scene is amazing. It's so good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he shoots a guy with a grenade launcher directly out of the hut, and I'm pretty sure that guy has been in something else. So afterwards, they find out, like, they get this one woman, Anna, and they kill everyone else Anna has ever known, ever. I assume one of them is probably her father or something, maybe.
Yeah.
We have orphaned your children, everything. So they capture her to try to get, like, intel out of her. It's like, lady, you're going to slow us down.
She was actually going to be able to kill. I think she was going after Arnold, or either it was either Arnold's character, or it was after Carl Weathers. And I'm just like, they've killed everybody else. You just have a little knife. Bitch, run.
Yeah. Just like, right. Get the fuck out of there.
Don't you know what time period you're in? Like, you don't matter at this point.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to matter for like another 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, are you a Latino woman? I'm sorry. You're completely expendable. The only reason why you get to live to the end of this movie is because Arnold Schwarzenegger probably had sex with you off camera later on in his hotel room. Right before he got married. That's what I'm going to start that rumor, and I hope it catches on. So from there, they're pretty pissed off about, they're pretty goddamn pissed off that it turns out that Carl Weathers' character, Dylan, kind of lied to them, and that
the CIA lied.
Yeah.
God. Plot twist.
Yeah, like, ooh.
On the line going, holy shit, didn't see that one coming.
Like, yeah, of course, motherfucker. So they start, like, now the movie moves into like more of the sci-fi side, right? And they're trying to figure out what the fuck is happening. Hawkins is attacked by Anna. She's like, no, I gotta get out of here. And she runs off. Hawkins goes after her, and he catches her, and then the Predator comes and fucking murders him and drags his body away.
I mean, those glasses, though.
Dude, how did he not see the Predator coming 800 miles away? Jesus Christ. So they find Anna, and Anna's got all this blood on her face, and she's all, like, fucking freaked out. What's kind of cool is, like, that blood splatter when Hawkins is killed is pretty good. Like, again, like, it's surprising. You know, like, you see the Predator for a second. He's cloaked, obviously. You see him for a second, and then it's just like, bam, murder. But this movie plays really well, like you said earlier, it plays really well with the whole idea of showing very little, you know,
yeah.
Right up into the moments that really matter.
And I love also the overreaction of everybody just firing just to fucking fire.
Dude, they killed.
This just sums up the movie so well.
They killed so many trees. So many.
And wildlife. Like, it's like they hit everything else. Well, I think they did say they grazed it, but it's like they go through the entire minigun. Everybody else starts firing. Like, they have no idea what anybody's firing at.
No, they just
firing.
Yeah. Okay. So let's fast forward to that part. So as they're looking for Hawkins, they find like his basically his entrails.
Entrails.
Yeah. Which is really gross. But I accept it. They basically find his body like hanging upside down, stripped naked, and dragged up a tree. And so you get one of the coolest fucking scenes of Jesse Ventura walking around the jungle with a goddamn minigun, old painless as he calls it, and he sees this possum and he's like, oh, I thought it was something else. And then all of a sudden the fucking Predator comes out and blows a giant hole in the back of his, through his back and into, right out of his chest, which is, you know, not a bad way to die in a movie. I have to say, if you're going to die, you got to die like a boss.
You got to die holding a gun that's meant for a helicopter.
Exactly. So they, you know, Bill Duke's character sees Jesse Ventura go down and he runs over, and the Predator doesn't give a fuck, by the way, because the Predator just stands there and then like fucking basically winks at him and like flashes his eyes like, yeah, I did that shit. You're welcome. Fuck you.
You like what you see?
Yeah. You want this to happen to you? Get the fuck out of my jungle. And then, of course, Bill Duke is like, I don't even know what he yells in this scene, but it's pretty goddamn epic, and he just starts fucking firing into the woods. And then, like you said, Chris, everyone just joins him, and they're like, oh, we're shooting? Okay, let's just shoot everything. And it doesn't make any sense. I feel like they would have been out of bullets, but they just kept going. It just didn't matter.
All right, so we spoke about it right before we started the show, but Chris brought up the fact that Jean-Claude Van Damme was originally cast to play the Predator, but he dropped out for being a relentless complainer, as IMDb says. Now, could you imagine how more the badass the Predator would be if he was split kicking people? I mean, get the fuck out of here!
It would have been so weird to have him play that character.
Well, did you also know that they changed the look? So it wasn't the classic look. It looked like a praying mantis. Like, there's actually video.
I've seen that.
The video is fucking hilarious. Of like, there's like praying mantis looking creature with Jean-Claude Van Damme, and it's pink because, you know, they're having it pink so they can do the whole camouflage effect later on. So it's got him and the character. You never actually see Jean-Claude Van Damme's face, and it looks ridiculous. Like, it's like sci-fi TV quality shit. Yo, yeah. It would have been awesome, but for a different fucking reason.
Yeah. Like, I'm not so sure if the alien looked like that, would this movie have gone down in history as one of the greatest action movies? People would have been like, that was fucking terrible.
Yeah, it was horrendous looking.
He looked like a lobster.
Yes. And I think that's actually why he didn't want to do it, because there were no split kicks. Like, if they let him split kick at one point, like, I don't know if Jean-Claude Van Damme would turn down a movie if you allow him to split kick at least once.
I feel like it's probably in his contract. Like,
yeah,
oh,
I feel like it has to be.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I realize this is a drama, but I'm gonna need to kick someone in the face.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a romantic comedy, dude. Like, you don't split kick during meat cute. Like, what are you doing?
But that would actually make this funnier. Don't you understand? He's like,
now imagine if I met this woman, but instead of giving her a kiss at the end of the night, I split kicked her in the face. Imagine that. You're not going to be in this movie. This is why he never made it into Love Actually, guys. But yeah, man, look, they show the hole that's blown into Jesse Ventura's chest. That shit is amazing. They did a really good job, like the makeup and everything else. Like, they did a pretty goddamn good job for 1987. That's pretty cool. So Anna finds this neon green blood that's all over the leaves. And she, of course, is like, oh yeah, oh, this guy's really great. This Predator thing, this is wonderful. I'm like, lady, you're out of your goddamn mind. Then the crew just sort of like regroups after they've lost Jesse Ventura. And here's a bit of that conversation.
Ask her what she saw. Ask her what happened to Hawkins.
Go ahead, ask her.
¿Qué pasó hoy? ¿Qué fue lo que viste?
Te dije lo que sé. Fue la selva que se lo llevó. ¿Qué más quieres que te diga?
She says the same fucking thing. The jungle that came alive and took him.
Billy, you know something. What is it?
I'm scared, Poncho.
Bullshit. You ain't afraid of no man.
There's something out there waiting for us. And it ain't no man.
If a giant 7-foot-tall Indian guy says, we're all going to die, you're going to die. Like,
right.
This guy is a tracker. That's what he does for a living. No, I would trust him. I'd be like, and we're out.
I just want to say that Anna's acting is probably the best, and when she was speaking Spanish, because as soon as she starts speaking Spanish, everybody just goes, Billy, Well, you know something. It's just like the acting is so bad.
It's horrible. The so acting bad. Is absolutely horrible.
Yeah, and that's why it's got some lines, but there's never really a long dialogue discussion in this film. There's usually a lot of just communicating with hands and eyes and looks and just, you know, flexing.
And guttural noises.
Right.
I mean, what Bill Duke did, or what Bill Duke yelled before he shot the minigun, was the very definition of a guttural noise. Like, I literally, to this day, I've seen this movie no less than 40 times. He's just like, murmurder, and then just starts firing. I'm like, okay, I guess the line was murmurder. Like, I don't know.
And the entire team does the same thing. There's no communication. Like, hey, what are we shooting at? It's just, he's firing, we'll fire. It's such a roid rage movie. It's just awesome.
I would love to find out what is the what what was the amount of ammunition that was used in the making of this movie? Like, they had to bring in crates of gun of bullets. Like, they just, that scene alone, it had to the amount of bullets that were made and wasted were incredible. So at this point, you've got the whatever's left of the team, and they decide that they're going to build a trap for this for the predator, and they try, and it almost worked, except for it didn't. And at this point, Arnold Schwarzenegger is wearing like the same outfit he wore in Commando. Like, they were just like, he looked pretty badass.
So no shirt.
I mean. Pretty much. I mean, this scene is maybe one of the most homoerotic scenes of all time. When they're like building the trap, it's like, Carl Weathers, we're going to need you to take your shirt off. Why? Why? Like, I don't know. Like, I have no idea. Like, you guys are all jacked and somebody's going to have to show these muscles off sometime. Like,
guys, in order to build this trap, I'm going to need you to flex your pecs.
Right. Right.
It's part of the trap.
Right. Exactly.
He'll be so blinded by our, he'll be so attracted to our muscle physiques that we'll distract him, and that's when we'll be able to get him.
Well, they thought it was
mesmerized by the biceps bouncing up and down.
This shit is so fucking ludicrous. So the predator ends up walking right into the trap, and they catch him, and they're like, "Yeah, that was awesome. That totally worked out." Nope. Predator gets out immediately and starts just firing fucking lasers. And the other white guy, who is not tough, gets hit with a fucking giant log in the chest. I think at that point, I probably
Do you lift?
Like, I find it really funny that they had him and Shane Black. I was like, come on, man. Like, what are those guys supposed to do?
Nothing. Die.
Die.
That's what they're supposed to do.
Dude, Bill Duke just runs off into the woods just chasing this guy. I'm like, Bill, what the fuck are you doing, man?
I'm not gonna lie. He has my most favorite dialogue in the movie. I'm gonna have me some fun.
He's just running. He's just running, saying that shit. Dude, Bill Duke is a crazy person in this movie.
Yeah, I was like,
oh. In the movie, I swear to God, that guy is crazy in real life.
Oh, yeah, like, you're not wrong.
Everything that I've seen him in, he is a deranged black man. Like, he is the definition of, he is the root of where the racial slur spook comes from. Because that motherfucker is scary as shit.
Yeah, this is again one of those films where I believe a lot of the dialogue is really just improv, because I feel like that was just him. Like, he just went off on the deep end and was just like, yeah, I'm gonna have me some fun.
Position again.
I'll bleed you
real slow.
You're just like,
whoa, Bill, chill out, bro.
He went so dark. Oh, we forgot about that. Oh, again, that's another. Like, he really does have my favorite dialogue in this movie. Like, that shit was so good. He came out of nowhere. I'm like, how do you get snuck up by a dude so dark like that?
But the funny thing is,
nowhere, yo.
The funny thing is, like, they might as well have just been like, listen, Bill Duke is, we told Bill Duke that the Predator is real, and we threw his ass in the jungle. No one else tell him this is a movie, guys. Let's just see how he reacts. Right. It's like, we changed his coffee for Folgers. Much. Let's see how he reacts. Now, I did skip over a scene, which is a pretty great line from Arnold Schwarzenegger. So this is right before they set up that trap. So here you go.
Anna, this thing is hunting us. All of us. You know that.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
You're gonna need everyone.
I'm taking her back. We're out of here in 5 minutes.
You're not going yet.
Look, the rendezvous is 10 to 12 miles away from here. You think the chopper's gonna wait?
Dylan, we make a stand now.
What do we have left to go to the chopper?
There is something else. When the big man was killed, you must have wanted it. Its blood was on the leaves.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Fuck yeah. Come on, dude, that's an awesome line. Such a great line. If it bleeds, we can kill it. And you're just like, yeah, he's right. He definitely knows biology.
Think of that.
Like, aha. Right. Uh-huh.
If the sun is out, it's hot. Like, all right, thanks.
If the rain is coming down, You'll get wet. Fuck! This guy's a fucking genius. No wonder he's in charge of the team.
So good. So, Wesley Snipes' shadow is hiding, and he ends up getting his fucking brains blown out by the Predator, which was a pretty great scene. This is the first time we get the infamous Predator like three dots. Red laser guiding system, which has obviously been like a big thing in all the Predator movies from then on.
What I don't understand is they kind of did drop the ball a little bit on the Bill Duke and the Predator squaring off, because they both have camouflage. So I would really like to see camouflage off between the two of them.
I mean, in fairness, you know, obviously moving ahead a little bit, you know, if camouflage does work against the Predator, Bill Duke should have been totally fine.
Oh, absolutely. Why the hell does Arnold Schwarzenegger have to paint himself in blackface in order to not be seen by the Predator when you literally have blackface sitting right there?
Oh, poor Bill Duke, man. I like that guy. You know you done fucked up, don't you? He should have had that line in this movie, not in Menace to Society. And then got shot like immediately after it. Then one of the best deaths, I think, is of Dylan, aka Joseph Kony, because that's exactly who he fucking looks like. The Predator, you know, he hears the Predator or suspects the Predator's around, and he goes to fucking shoot at the Predator, and the Predator blows his fucking arm off. That shit was amazing.
Like I said, this movie is. Is so violent and so so graphic when you think about it, you know?
Yeah, dude, it's just a chunk of his arm still firing the gun. And yeah, dude, you look like Joseph Kony. I'm sorry, but you do. I remember there was like a thing on Facebook, and it was like Kony 2012, and it was a picture of Carl Weathers from Predator, and people were like, "Fuck Joseph Kony." I was like, "That guy is Carl Weathers from Predator." It's like,
that's Action Jackson, guys.
Like
calm down.
Like, oh, I mix it up. I thought it was him. I was like, oh shit, shit was hilarious. You look like a horrible, horrible human being in real life. So the Predator comes out with his fucking blades and just stabs Carl Weathers in the chest. And
yeah, he gives him the Baraka fatality, for God's sakes.
Look,
stabs the motherfucker in the chest and wakes him to fall down.
That shit was awesome. So he dies pretty well. And as Dutch and Anna and Billy and the white guy who's gonna die soon, the white guy who doesn't work out, when they're trying to leave, Billy hears Dylan get murdered, and so he's like, "Fuck this, bring on the ragheads. I'm gonna stand my ground." And he decides, "Fuck a shirt. I'm gonna take on this Predator with a knife."
This dude is literally. Like, he has to be the inspiration for Cheap Thunder in Killer Instinct. Because, like, this scene, because he's walking around shirtless, he's got the full rage of the redskin, and he's fucking ready, man. He's like, I'm about to fucking murder Dan Snyder right now. And this is fucking amazing.
It's such a stereotype, but
yeah, it is, man.
Good.
Like,
it's so good, though. Like, this, I'm not gonna lie, this is what I miss about 80s. 80s action films are so good because they were so politically incorrect.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And nobody cared. And it's like you couldn't do it today, but I'm so glad they could.
Like, the only way this would be more of a stereotype is if Billy had a bottle of beer in one hand because he's a fucking drunk.
All the men love the...
I'm going to kill the Predator and then go back to my casino. Like,
I mean, that's the thing, dude. Everyone here is a stereotype. Everyone. I mean, come on. Oh, it's so good. I love it.
So good.
Like, you can't. I don't know. I guess that's the difference between people who are like, oh, being like ultra politically correct. I'm like, you didn't grow up in the 80s, did you? Did you watch movies? Because they didn't give a fuck back then.
Not one.
Not one, dude. It was awesome. But look, again, you can't get mad at him being a stereotype in this movie because everyone is a stereotype. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it good.
Equal opportunity back then.
Yeah, absolutely. So at this point, Billy decides he's going to go off. They maybe get 20 feet away and you hear Billy get killed. It didn't even fucking take that long. So they're trying to get out of there. And then immediately the fucking predator murders the white guy who doesn't lift. And
then shoots Arnold in the same arm that Carl Weathers got shot in. That shit blew Carl Weathers' arm off. But Arnold just got a scratch? He got a flesh wound?
Well, remember at the beginning of the movie, they foreshadow this. When Arnold can beat Carl Weathers in arm wrestling. Again, man, gotta lift.
Yeah, you gotta lift. You gotta have a little bit more muscle. A little bit more muscle mass.
Shit.
What I like about this scene, and I will I'll play a bit of the clip here in a second. What I like about this scene is Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, after the other dude gets murdered, he gets shot in the side of the head. After he gets murdered, Anna goes to pick up the gun. In one motion, Arnold Schwarzenegger kicks the gun out of her hand, yells no, and then fires at the fucking tree with the predator in it. It is awesome. Like, it is a purely great sequence. So here is that clip.
Chopper!
And then, you know, of course, Anna is running.
Get to the chopper is still, like I said, there's so many gems in this movie. Get to the chopper.
One of the greatest fucking lines.
Like, again, this is what people don't get when they put Arnold in these movies. It's like, you have to keep it simple, stupid. You know?
Yes.
Give him a simple line like, get to the chopper. And it becomes one of the greatest action lines of all time.
His movies should never be complex. They should just be him shooting. Like, that's it. Like,
like I said, this is why Conan the Barbarian is still one of my favorites. Because it's like, he rarely talks in that movie. Like, he had maybe five lines in the entire movie. Because he could barely speak English. And it was so obvious. And it was great.
Yeah, and like, that's kind of like three lines too many.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't really need much else. So at this point, Anna runs off. And fucking Matt or Dutch is trying to survive, and he's just running through the woods at full speed. Dude, he jumps into the water. How he even survived, I don't know. I guess because of his increased muscle mass.
Impossible white man.
Oh yeah, I mean this might be one of the all time greatest Impossible White Man movies. Okay. I mean, he doesn't just kill random people in Central America. He kills an alien warrior from a different planet.
Right.
With his bare hands. Because fuck you. Like, who cares? Can we quickly talk about, like, the Predator design? Like,
oh, yeah.
Is it not one of the best alien designs easily in the last, like, 50 years?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, when it comes to what we almost got, what they almost designed as, is this praying mantis looking creature, and then when we ended up with, It's so, because even before he takes his mask off, you're like, holy shit, this creature is like unstoppable. But then when he takes the mask off and you actually see the face, and I think even Dylan's response is, you're one ugly mother. It's just, it is ugly. It is terrifying. You're like, holy shit, you were scary before, but now you're really scary.
Yep.
You know?
So when I was younger, I've always been a pervert all my life. And when I was younger,
good, thank you.
When I was younger, you know, you would get like Penthouse magazine, and Penthouse was pretty goddamn raunchy. Like, they would have chicks spread eagle and like opening the wings. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Thank you.
And when I first saw this movie, that's immediately what it reminded me of. Like, the most violent looking vagina that I'd ever seen in my entire life. Like, the Predator's mouth, when that bitch opens up, I'm just like, oh shit. Like, I'm flashing back to Penthouse, but all of a sudden there are these gigantic fucking teeth coming out of that thing.
It is the visual, the visualization of a vagina with herpes.
Yeah.
Like some guys, and they're designing going, What would be the most terrifying vagina you ever thought about? Oh, here we go.
But when that movie, face. When that movie Teeth came out, which was about vagina dentata.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh,
like,
yeah.
I had never seen that movie, but that's what I imagined that it looked like. The Predator mouth.
Yeah.
Look.
I'm actually mad you brought that up because I tried to forget about that movie. It actually is very horrifying to think about.
I have never seen it either.
But yes, that movie is terrifying.
I have never seen it for the exact reasons that you're all saying.
Don't like yeah. I normally will tell people, no, you got to at least see it. Well, no, don't.
Yeah.
For your own health and mental health, do not ever see that movie.
No fucking thank you. So getting back, you know, Arnold. At this point, he falls in the water. He survives. He happens to fall into this mud conveniently. And that sort of works as a camouflage, and the Predator can't see him.
By accident. I love how in Impossible White Man movie, the Impossible White Man always decides how to win by accident.
You just trip and fall into a cache of guns. Now, here's the funny thing. This actually doesn't make any sense. So, like, as far as what we have seen in this movie to this point, it literally does him. The camouflage doesn't make any sense. He can see them based on heat, not based on what they look like, because what you're implying is that he can't see him because he blends in with the background. But that has nothing to do with heat.
They're implying that the mud is cold and it's bringing down his body temperature.
Right. Is that it? I always thought it was that he blends in.
No.
It's the whole, because they do this. They do it even worse in Predator 2, which I hate when they do it into the actual the meat freezer.
Oh, right.
But in this one, yeah, they're implying that the mud is cold, but it doesn't make any sense because you're like, eventually, it can't be that cold. It can't be that cold. You know,
right? I always thought it was straight camouflage. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. But all right, I will accept that. Also, look, I don't care what anybody says. I kind of love Predator 2.
Oh, I do too, just because I love counting how much. I keep wondering how many shirts they had to give Danny Glover because he just keeps sweating through all of them. Like is one nonstop sweat box in that movie.
It is like, so hot in LA in that fucking movie. Right. Holy shit.
That's why that's actually the plot hole in Predator 2 is how the Predator could see Danny Glover because he's sweating so much. There's no way his body temperature was that hot. You know, it's like you sweat to cool down, and he was covered in sweat all the time.
So. That movie was amazing. Like, I know a lot of people don't give it a lot of credit. I thought it was just as, not as good, but I thought it was pretty good.
You have Gary Busey in that movie. How could it not be fucking awesome?
He gets chopped in half by that fucking like blade.
The predator rips somebody's spine out.
Yeah, dude. I who was alive?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that movie is nuts. That will definitely have to be Chris. We might have to bring you back for Predator.
Oh, yeah. I'm in. I'm down for Predator. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. So look for that in the future. All right. So at this point, Dutch is basically like, listen, I got to make my last stand because this shit ain't working out and I'm going to die. So he prepares all night, like this little area where he's got all these like traps and shit set up. And look, again, guttural noises. Arnold Schwarzenegger just lights a bunch of branches on fire and he's like built a bow and arrow and everything else. And he just lights it on fire at night and just kind of, it's his sort of bring it on moment against the Predator. And he's just like, "Rah!" That shit is awesome. It's awesome. It is exactly what I would not do in this situation. Like, I would live in the mud forever and I would eat rodents until I died. I would never come out of hiding. Not ever. Nope.
Oh man.
And I would hope that eventually someone came and got me. Because fuck that. But one of the scenes, and I had forgotten about this until I rewatched the movie, when the Predator hears Arnold give his battle cry, dude, the Predator sits there and fucking heats up his blades with his laser. I was like, this Predator's kind of an asshole. But I respect you. I accept it. It's kind of cool to have like these two warriors like, you know, just straight battle it out. That's kind of badass.
This is this cat and mouse stuff for the last like 20 minutes of this movie was actually pretty awesome. Like, you don't see that nowadays in movies. And part of the reason I think this was done is because, yes, you know, the cat and mouse thing is awesome, but also, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't speak throughout, you know, this entire last, you know, 25% of the movie.
He has
because he's
one
not
line.
A good actor.
No, but the thing is, he has one line. That's it. You're one ugly motherfucker. Like, that's it for the last 15 to 20 minutes of this movie. He didn't say shit else.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, this movie jumps between being just a regular action movie to sci-fi. To this last part, if you think about it, it's really kind of a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's just, you know, it's Arnold has no weapons. Well, he had to make his own weapons. You know, he's got this hunting alien hunters after him. There's no real dialogue in any of this. It's just primal. You know,
which goes back to what you said about the music. Like, the music makes these scenes.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you can't have just, you know, a bunch of elevator muzak during these fucking explosions and shit. The music is what makes these scenes help these scenes stand out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. So
very
just,
smart direction.
Yeah, it actually is. You know, John McTiernan did a good job, like a really solid job with this movie. So at this point, Arnold Schwarzenegger decides to go all Laura Croft on the Predator. And hey, people who are writing the new Tomb Raider movie, you need to watch this, right? Just watch the last 20 minutes of this movie and just make that your entire movie. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Find a big Austrian and cast him as Laura Croft.
Yeah, exactly.
Give her very little dialogue and really big muscles.
Look, Arnold Schwarzenegger basically has a bigger chest than Laura Croft does at this point anyway, so why not?
Yeah.
You know what? I accept that. So Arnold Schwarzenegger, he fires an arrow that ends up like blowing up and damaging the Predator, which really... damage slash really just pisses off the Predator. And you really get like a couple of really good looks at the Predator at this point, cause he's uncloaked, which is very cool. He like that helmet is fucking iconic. Like it is iconic.
It is. And not only that, but I'm glad I think the cloaking of the Predator was also really well done, especially for the time period, because the way they do it is so mechanical. So when it starts failing, you get him kind of half uncloaked, half not. You can see the sparks flying. Like, it's actually a really good design all the way around on the creature and his technology.
Yeah.
We also forgot to mention the Wolverine claws kind of things he has, which are just badass.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's really funny because, like, looking at, you know, watching this movie now, how in the fuck can they not make a good Predator movie anymore? Like, that's amazing.
I think the last one they did, Predators, was actually fairly good.
It got the spirit of this original movie down.
Yeah. I felt like there was just something about it lagging. I think it's probably because Adrian Brody, to me, is not an action hero.
Well, yeah, I think they actually try to get actors.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Like, it sounds weird, but I think what makes this movie so good is the things that, quote-unquote, make it a bad movie. The fact that they didn't try to have dialogue. They didn't, like, in the last Predators movie, while they got the spirit down, and I think it's still pretty good, they try to explain too much. In this first film, they actually don't really explain a whole lot.
No, you don't know where he's from. You don't know where the alien is from. You don't know what the race of the alien is. No one even says Predator in the movie. Nope. You know, it's just this giant, you know, Michael Myers type character who just murders people. Like, that's it. And sometimes, like, that level of simplicity is what makes those movies so much better, right?
I think that's what that film was making. Like, they had too many, they had too much trying to make it, too many people in that movie were trying to act. And what you needed to have was just this, the raw, hey, we're going out to kill something, or there's something to kill us, and just let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to sound weird, but they tried to interject too much story into it.
Yeah. No, they did.
No.
Like, there are some movies that don't need a lot. They just need, like, look, I'm not coming to a movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jesse Ventura, and the rest of these brutes. I'm not going to that movie to watch Shakespeare. I'm going to that movie to watch shit get blown up.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Stop talking to me and shoot that guy over there. Like, that's it. That's all I want. That's what I'm here for. And I think this movie strikes that perfect bit of, like, no dialogue. Just badass action. Arnold running through the woods with a goddamn javelin with a knife on the end of it. Like that's it. You know, I mean, and it's perfect. It really is. So at this point, there is a whole sequence of Arnold. This is the extended cat and mouse sort of thing, like Michael was saying. Arnold is going after the Predator. Like, he's wounded the Predator now, so he's like, he now is the Predator, you know, for all intents and purposes. But I think he forgot that this thing is not fucking around. And he ends up basically being lured into this like hole trying to find the Predator. But the Predator's like, yeah, motherfucker, I set that trap for your ass, and now I'm in here with you. And Arnold, what does he take? He basically lights, a little handmade grenade and then tries to run off, jumps on a branch. The fucking Predator blows up the branch as he touches it, which was great. And Arnold ends up in the water. So now he is no longer camouflaged. How inconvenient for him.
Who put that water there?
Like, God damn it. I was doing so well. This is like playing a video game where like you've got like a solid advantage, and then the boss is like, oh, I'm not even my final form yet. And then you're like, well, now that one tactic that I use doesn't work anymore. Great.
Son of a bitch.
How inconvenient. So now the Predator sort of squares off with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is kind of badass. Like, he takes off the helmet. You get, you know, the angry vagina face. Which I was thinking about this when I was watching it. It would have been wild if when he took the mask off, he was human. Like, that would have been crazy. Like, oh shit, like just an advanced race of human beings or some shit like that.
I always thought that the Predator was black because,
well, he's played by a black guy.
He's gigantic and he has a bunch of fucking dreads and he's killing a bunch of indiscriminately. That's what black people do, right?
Yeah, of course. Sorry, white people, you gotta die sometimes.
And that's what I would do.
Absolutely.
And this scene when he's taking this mask off, like, this movie's all about anticipation and build up. And even when he's taking the mask off, you know, you're like, he pulls the thing out one at a time, and then it's like, oh shit, is he really taking it off? And it's like, oh shit, like, what the fuck? And then you see this horrific badge mouth, and you're like, oh fuck. And then they're getting ready to fist fight. Like, how do you punch the Predator in the face?
You don't.
He's got teeth all over the place.
You do not. Like, he's pretty fucking terrifying looking, dude. He really is. And, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger's not very tall. I think he's maybe like 6'1 or something like that. So, like, this other guy, he's like, I think he's like 6'10.
He's 7'2.
7'2. That's a very, very large person, man. And it's cool because, like, you really get, like, a sense of, like, this dude's not fucking around. Like, this makeup and everything is pretty goddamn impressive for 1987. And even now, like, when they show the Predators now, like, they really haven't strayed from that because it's so goddamn good.
Except for Predators versus Aliens, where they made these, like, balloon suit-ass Predators. And I was like, yo, why are these Predators like they're out of shape? That's the biggest problem I had with that movie. I mean, there's problems, other problems in that movie. But I was like, these do not look like the Predators I know.
They're supposed to be like literally apex predators. Like, they're supposed to be like the top of the heat.
And they made these fucking predators like the fucking police chief from fucking The Simpsons and shit, like, out of shape and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is? It's not a predator, yo.
He was like, he's retired. Like, back in my day. Like, yeah, I'm still eating a lot of donuts.
Gym in a while.
Yeah, like, I haven't had that bloodlust in years.
Yeah.
I got married, packing on a bit of
a
pound.
Vegan, you know.
Exactly. Like, oh man, you used to be tough. but look, I think that, like, again, like, this design is really cool. Like, he's just sort of stalking Arnold and everything else. We get the scene of the reveal, and let me play a little bit of that.
You're one ugly motherfucker.
Yep, right there is where I would have pissed my pants.
Yeah, yep. That's also the Predator sound. It made that sound you make when you find out your girl's on her period and you're really horny. It's like, fuck.
No!
Right? Just so disappointed, yo.
Yeah, so angry. But I do kind of like that whole notion of like, oh, you just want to throw down, like, straight up. Oh, I don't need these weapons. I'll fuck you up by myself.
I think that was also the great thing, because, I mean, that's another thing I've realized about, I love about this, the character of the Predator, that to them, this is sport. Yes. Like, to them, it's like the greatest honor is to have, you know, a battle. It reminded me of, like, the evil version, like, the more evil version of the Klingons in Star Trek. It just, they want to have a battle.
That's all they want.
They want to have the sport of it. That is what the most interesting thing to them is. If they die, they die. But that, to me, is also another terrifying aspect of an enemy. It's like, you just want to have a fight? I'm not. I can't deal with you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they have no logic or reasoning. They just want a battle.
Yeah. Oh, you want to fight? Okay, shit. I'll take all my shit off. Like, as soon as you're taking this shit off, I'm like, okay, you know what? You won.
Yeah.
You're way too invested in this than I am.
How do I give up? How do I say I'm sorry on your planet? I've made a grave mistake. But yeah, so there's really one sort of last scene, which is the Predator is stalking Arnold. And Arnold goes, like, under this little area that he had set up with all these, like, spikes and everything to fuck up the alien. And he's like, come and get me, come and get me. And the alien, like, sees the trap. He's like, really? Like, you know, I'm not dumb.
Right.
Like, I get it.
Kill me. No, nigga.
Like, no. Nice try. And he's like, yeah, come and kill me. And the Predator's like, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and walk around this trap. That shit was hilarious. Like, no. And Arnold's face is like, oh, fuck. I did not expect that.
You're not
that.
As dumb as I am. Oh,
okay. Yep. Nope. And so Arnold, of course, the alien just happens to walk right where Arnold has that tree trunk set up, and he sets the trap and allows it to release, and this giant log comes and slams right on top of the Predator, like, just fucking him up, seriously. And then Arnold goes to smash him in the head with a rock, which I would have done mm-hmm. that. Fuck that weight and shit. But then he sees that the Predator is, you know, bleeding and everything else. And I get the feeling, like, they never say this because, you know, fuck words in this movie, right? like, Arnold has, like, a respect for him, like, as a fellow warrior. And but then the Predator's a dick, and it's like, that's hilarious. I'm just going to blow myself up and you. Mm-hmm. And he tries to, but Arnold, of course, as the impossible white man, gets just far enough away to survive. Mm-hmm. And luckily, the chopper is in the air and sees this giant explosion, and they go to pick up, see if anybody survived. Why you would think anyone survived, I don't know. But luckily for them,
white man, so you have to.
Yeah. So Arnold, of course,
always a chance.
There's always a chance he'll be there. And he just so happens to be there in the middle of what looks like nuclear winter. he's still fucking, he's just standing there with no fucking shirt on. Like, yeah, what took you so long?
Right. Like just another Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. So, can I just skip back to taking care of my daughter back in my cabin in the world of Commando? I've got that movie to do now.
what they never show is in Predator 2, I would love to open up and show that it was actually a nuclear bomb, and Arnold has cancer now.
Yes. Him dying.
Radiation poisoning. It's just, you know, it never really explained that.
I feel like I feel like Predator 1 and 2 don't tie to each other well enough.
To no, they be, don't, really.
Like, they should, I mean, they, like, mentioned, like, oh, you know, there was a group of, you know, guys in the jungle who sort of ran into this thing. Like, they mentioned that. But it would have been cool to have Arnold make an appearance in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, look, I know you're too old for this shit, Danny Glover. but this is how you take him down, or, you know, or some shit like that. Like, that would have been kind of cool. Like, him in a wheelchair, because he's got that, like, 100-yard stare on the helicopter. He is fucked up. He has seen some shit in this movie. And he literally doesn't say anything. He just gets on the helicopter, and they just end the movie with some badass music. Like, that's it. And then they do this kind of cool thing where they, like, show all the people who were in it, all the guys who got murdered. And the only reason why I bring that up is because they show Hawkins, played by Shane Black, and he is holding a Marvel Sergeant Rock comic book, or excuse me, DJ or DC Comics Sergeant Rock. And I just think that's kind of funny considering, like, where his career goes after that.
Yeah.
So, yes, all in all, after watching this movie again, it's stellar, man. It is fucking stellar.
Yeah, it still holds up.
It absolutely does. So, yeah, Chris, we will definitely have to have you on again for Predator 2.
Oh, yeah. I'm just, I know a lot of people don't like that movie, but again, it still holds a special place in my heart because it's just, it's, you know, it's still Predator. Like, I'll watch, if it's Predators or Aliens related, I will watch it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am. Look, and not only that, it's Predators in a city and they kill a bunch of Jamaicans. Like, that's kind of not since Mark for Death have more Jamaicans died in a movie. At the hands of random people. Mm-hmm. It was great.
You just, yeah, they replace your random South American drug kingpins and militiamen with Jamaicans in Predator 2, and I allow it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, kill everybody, man. That's fine. Yeah, man. And for people who don't know, Kevin Peter Hall, the guy who plays the Predator, yeah, dude, he was a very very large guy, and yes, he was black, in fact. So there's a picture of him just standing next to Arnold Schwarzenegger, dude. He's so much taller than him, like wow. Them not in costume at all. Like, Arnold Schwarzenegger literally looks like a kid next to an adult.
Wow.
Yeah. So, dude, he was also on 227. That's very strange to me.
That's very odd. as what?
I don't know.
As a tree. A tree in the background.
Yep.
Hey, is that Groot back there?
He should have played Groot. They should have just brought his tall ass in. Would have made total sense.
Well, they would have had to dig him up from the grave because he's dead.
Oh, God damn it.
He played
sad note.
In Harry and the Hendersons. God damn it.
Well, I know what he was. I wonder what he played in that movie.
There's no way to really know. I think he was the husband. I think he was John Lithgow.
Right.
All right, that is it for this episode of No Time to Bleed. So thank you, Chris, for coming in for that. We appreciate it.
No problem.
But we will definitely have you back for the warmest movie in LA history, Predator 2, in the future. Micah, thank you.
Plug all your shows, Chris.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
You can find everything at movietrailerreviews.net. We got movie reviews, TV show reviews. We're now doing combo panels, our dating show, Hell No Cupid, which we just did one yesterday. We talked to people about how to be petty.
Oh, I can't wait to listen to that.
Yeah. That is, I'm apologizing to people now because that was not the plan. But if you have a bad breakup and somebody uses one of our ideas, I am sorry for what happens to you.
Oh, no.
Get them on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, just, you know, movie trailer reviews, and that's everything.
Very nice, very nice. All right, guys, remember, if you're listening to this, you have signed up for your premium membership, but also remember to tell other people about it. It's only $5 a month or $50 for the full year. All right, we will see you guys next time for No Time to Bleed.
See ya.
Later.
See ya.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.